Welcome to The Lawyer's Edge, a program that seeks to answer your questions on civil, criminal, constitutional, and political legal matters with attorneys Robert J. Slama and David Trotty. Robert J. Slama is a U.S. veteran and prominent attorney who has served as counsel for some of Jacksonville's most high-profile cases. Robert Slama is a member of the Florida Bar and the U.S. Supreme Court Bar Associations. He's argued cases in Florida, as well as constitutional cases, before the highest court in the land. David Trotty is a Florida Bar attorney, practicing since 2000, and is a certified civil and family law mediator and a qualified arbitrator in the state of Florida. His practice focuses on family and criminal law issues and mediation. He's a former Marine who served in Japan and the U.S. Embassy in Austria and Tanzania. Also a federal police officer with the Central Intelligence Agency. It's now time to discuss today's legal topics and issues and how they impact your family and small business. Now, live from the WBOB studios, here's attorneys Robert J. Slama and David Trotty.
Oh, the drama. I love the intro, by the way.
I do, too.
Another edition of The Lawyer's Edge, and I'm Roger Henderson, not an attorney, with Robert Slama, who is, as the intro mentioned, member of the Florida Bar, which means you practice statewide, offices in Jacksonville, as well as...
Fort Myers.
And... You're on the Supreme Court Bar Association?
I'm a member of the federal bar locally, which includes the Middle District of Florida.
Okay.
But also, I was sworn into the bar of the Supreme Court of the United States.
Okay. All right. Well, another edition of The Lawyer's Edge, talking about legal issues. And what's on the agenda for today, Robert?
Well, a couple of things. One is, I want to let everyone know, please go to the Facebook page. There's a lot of information to find there on issues that are going on, as well as things we talked about. So you go to The Lawyer's Edge, look in Facebook, look up The Lawyer's Edge, and you'll see information there. Also, we've been litigating in and out of the various courts, and on the Facebook page, you will also see an update on David Trotty's case and he was put back on the ballot the other day. Today, we want to talk a little bit about where we left off the other day. We were talking a little bit about retainers, and I know for most people, this is where they don't usually have a very good understanding of how to retain counsel. And I know that should sound a little bit odd.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, you go to the store, you're going to, say, Lowe's, you're going to buy something. You know what you're doing.
Okay.
Most people have an accountant. They know how to go in and get an accountant. Pretty straightforward. Doctor, you know what that's, if you can figure out medical billing, one day you clue me in as to what's going on with medical
right.
bills. But when it comes to a lawyer, uh-huh. here's why it's different. Depending upon the type of case, depending upon what all is involved, and depending upon the direction that you're going to be going, sometimes it starts out going left. After the other side comes in, it goes right. You don't know in the beginning when you meet with someone where the case is going to go. All I know is what Roger tells me today.
But you also have a general idea, am I not true, Robert, what type of legal area it is. For example, if you've been charged with some type of criminal offense, you know, and you want to maintain your innocence, that's a different type of law than someone who needs a contract for a real estate transaction.
Sure.
Right. But lawyers are not allowed to say that they specialize. Am I correct?
Those words you can't say. What you can say is, if you're board certified in an area, that I'm board certified in civil law,
okay,
appellate law, whatever it is.
All right.
But so people, if they do say that, they shouldn't say that.
Okay. All right. So where does someone start, depending on the type of legal help they need? And a lot of your practice has to do with family law.
And criminal.
Okay.
Bankruptcy, foreclosure defense.
Okay.
Civil rights, which is very few people who do civil rights. And medical mal and personal injury.
Okay.
So it goes like this. For example, if you were injured in an auto accident, the type of retainer you're going to look at requires nothing from you. It's what we call a contingency fee agreement.
Right.
In other words,
that's almost in a way of speaking, you don't have to write a check to the lawyer. The lawyer gets paid after you settle or have to sue in court, provided the case is successful, right?
That's correct. So in other words, we're paying the costs up front,
okay,
which is the only case we can do that in. So we'll get into that as we talk about the others. I'm also doing another thing for you. I'm not only advancing the costs, but I'm also working for free for the moment. At the end of the case, I'm being paid in accordance with the contract, which is approved by the Florida Bar. It's all of this is out there online. So if you have been involved in an accident, that's how the case is going to move.
Mm-hmm.
Let's say, though, Roger, as you said, I like the reference to some sort of what we call in the law transactional work. People who deal with transactional attorneys, such as real estate, a lot of corporate stuff is transactional.
Okay.
They will pay for services based on the person's hourly rate for a specified product, which is easy for them. So in other words, if someone comes into me and says, I would like to do a real estate closing.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. The real estate closing is going to be a flat amount, and usually it runs about $350 to $450, $500, somewhere in there.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the reason they do, by the way, this may be a news flash to some people. Do you know why they charge such a low fee? A, they're doing volume, most of them. And second is...
they already have the templates. All they have to do is put in your name, right?
Yes, to a certain extent.
Okay.
But it's this. They're getting what we call the title gravy. Do you know what that means?
No. What is that?
The attorney also is listed with the title insurance. So very often, they are splitting and getting... he is getting paid a percentage of the cost on the title insurance.
Ah, okay.
Which is, as you know, if you've looked at the title insurance, it's rather expensive. They're getting part of that money. So we call it in the business, and I'm not just a real estate closing agent. I do it,
mm-hmm.
but I do it for friends and people who want it done, you know, individually. You're getting a pretty good clip off of that. So between the title gravy and the fee, they're making a pretty decent amount for an individual closing. Now, let's get to something that's not, quote, transactional. This is where everything changes when you're looking at litigation. Take family law. The typical person walks in and says, as I jokingly always say, I want a good divorce. What does that mean? Well, I'm reasonable. I just want things done quickly. I don't want to pay much money. If there's any money to pay, I want him to pay it. And by the way, I want to be done yesterday. Can you do that for me? Yeah, I can, but it's not going to happen like that. Why? Because real life doesn't happen like that. It does on occasion, maybe 2-3% of the time, but it typically doesn't. So what happens? Roger, you communicate to me what your goals are, such as you want the majority time sharing, you want the house, you want temporary alimony, you want exclusive use and enjoyment of the car, you want the pets. Pets can become an issue in a case. And you also want the other side to service all of the debt commensurate with their percentage of the income. So, pretty simple. Now, here's what happens. We serve the person. They come back. They respond. And they say, oh, no, I want the majority time sharing. I want the house. I want the kids. I want the car. I want the dog. Guess where we are right now? You're in a full-blown, everything is contested now. What does that mean? Your cost from when you just came in to see me and said, oh, no, I think he's going to be in agreement with much of this. And he's the one who is the major wage earner, and you're over here with very little savings. You have to understand, I see people who the spouse gives them money, but they don't even have access to an account. They have nothing. How do they begin waging a battle to try to get their relief? Plus, they have no money to afford an attorney. You'd be surprised the people that are in that place. And we'll talk about that when we come back from the break. But I'm telling you, these are real issues, real problems, but you have to understand it before you get going. We're talking to you on The Lawyer's Edge.
A law firm dedicated to helping families. A law firm dedicated to you. The law firm of Robert J. Slama.
Hi, I'm Robert Slama, and I want to be your family's attorney. For over 17 years, I've assisted the Jacksonville community by providing a full-service law firm for families, not the rich and powerful, but for everyday families like yours. Since 1998, I have handled some of the most complicated cases in Jacksonville, including Brenton Butler, and more recently, the jury verdict in Jermaine DeBose. Whether it's family law, including divorce, custody, or bankruptcy, juvenile law, personal injury, probate, civil rights, or not-for-profit and churches, I'm dedicated to helping your family with your legal needs. I'm Robert Slama, and I want to be your family's attorney. Call me anytime. My number is 904-296-1050, or you may text me at 838-8607. The law firm of Robert J. Slama.
Welcome back to The Lawyer's Edge. Roger Henderson along with Robert J. Slama, attorney at law. And thank you for joining us. He's here throughout the hour to answer any legal question you may have. In fact, if you have a legal question and didn't have time to stop by his office or talk to an attorney, hey, lawyers in the building, of course, every situation fact-dependent, so probably not something you want to, etch in stone, but you can probably give some general direction. Of course, if anything more detailed you need, you can always make an appointment to see him. 904-222-TALK is the number for your legal questions this afternoon. That's 904-222-8255.
Roger, giving away a gift certificate for $50 to the Cheesecake Factory.
Great. I haven't been there in a while.
Cheesecake is good if you like that sort of
food. I've been there probably in my life about a half a dozen times. And I've never gotten the cheesecake.
The cheesecake is good.
It's right, yeah. And I can think of another restaurant in town, local chain, since you're not giving away a thing for them right now, I won't mention the name, but they're known for pizza. Never had their pizza, but I love their burgers.
Really?
So anyway.
Is that a... You're kind of throwing it out there for people to wonder who you're talking about, burgers and pizza?
Not necessarily. I'm just saying, just because something has a name in their... their branding doesn't mean you have to necessarily get the cheesecake, because they've got other great things there at the Cheesecake Factory, even if you're not a cheesecake person. Like, I'm not a huge pizza fan. I like pizza. I'll eat it if someone else is getting it. If the family wants pizza, okay, I'll have a slice. But if it were just me, I would normally not get pizza for me.
We got a caller.
All right, people call in.
Let's
just
pick
a
it
caller.
Up.
We had a couple of callers, so hold on the line. First, let's go to Tony right now, who's got a legal question. Hey, Tony. Thanks for calling into The Lawyer's Edge. I think you want your gift card to the Cheesecake Factory.
Cheesecake is popular on a rainy
wow.
day.
Hey, Tony.
Hey, I have a quick question. I own the condo. I've been renting it out, and they usually set up for the automatic draft from the association fee from my bank. And for a while, I guess they didn't take out the money from my bank. They switched the serving company. And somehow it went to the collection agency. I think one of the lawyers picked it up. And I tried to call them up today, and they said they haven't figured out the amount, how much I owe. The association never has been sent me a bill yet. And how it works at this case.
Well, that's the interesting thing. Now that it's gone to collections, as I say, I always recommend is don't do it yourself. Let someone get involved, because ultimately the interesting thing about this part where it is, it's kind of at what I call the tipping point. You want to get it corralled. You want to get it fixed and quickly so it doesn't unravel and you start having collections fees and or it goes further into a lawsuit or some kind of contested matter. But essentially what I usually do at this point is I contact them and we arrange a workout agreement to catch up the past payments, explaining what happened, that sort of thing. But that would be the thing to do, is nip it in the bud. You can certainly call my office, 296-1050, and we can help steer you through that.
All right. Sounds pretty good. Give me a number one more time.
296-1050, 296-1050.
$10.50.
Yes, sir. Thank you, Tony.
All right, thanks, Tony. Your name is in the hat to get the Cheesecake Factory.
You're in the hat.
Gift card. Of course, there were other callers as well. In fact, we're going to take a couple more in just a second. So if you're on hold, hold on. But I got a question to ask you.
Yes.
I remember when we closed on our house, new construction, about 15 years ago, they incentivized us to work with the, what do they call it? Instead of going to court, arbitration over going to court, and we signed away our rights in exchange for not having to have pay closing costs or something to that effect. I forget exactly what it was. Are you at a major disadvantage by signing that, you know, arbitration agreement as opposed to?
You know, that's interesting. Let's grab these calls, because I'll tell you, I'm going to say a word about arbitration clauses and arbitration in general.
Okay.
It doesn't exclude certain things such as an injunction, but generally I would prefer to go to court myself versus arbitration. It tends to favor the, in that case, the builders. Let's take another caller.
Okay, William has been patient. Thank you for calling in, William, to the Lawyer's Edge. What's your question for Robert Slama this afternoon?
Robert, I'm involved in a marriage between a West African and myself. I begin to conclude that it's really a green card marriage.
Hmm.
And I'm about ready to try to file a divorce suit because I don't want to go to the magic 10-year point with her. Am I right in assuming that she would be able to collect part of my Social Security if we're married a full 10 years and we've been married right now 7?
Well, yeah, actually, I'm gonna tell you a thing about the time frame in your case, but across the board for everyone. What happens is 7 years or less is deemed a short-term marriage generally, as a general rule. You want, if you're going to do this, doing it now and getting in at 7 years or less is important, not just for, quote, Social Security and whether or not she vests for those benefits. It's for purposes of alimony, temporary alimony, spousal support, everything. A 7 year and under marriage is looked at differently than one that is what we call a gray area or long term. So absolutely. The other thing I would do is, and the way I would approach it, if you believe that fraud was involved, if that's your belief, is seeking an annulment, not, quote, a divorce. An annulment is a little bit different just technically. Oftentimes when we seek an annulment, it's for religious reasons because someone is Catholic and such.
Right. I only thought annulments were performed by a major Catholic denomination, major denomination of the Catholic Church, but you can actually get a civil annulment?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Okay. And the annulment is, it carries for people different, I mentioned in the religious, it certainly has a different feel, but it also has, purposefully, it has something different. And where you have a belief of fraud, which is one of them, fraud in the inducement of the marriage or something like that, it's a way to undo it without, in essence, acknowledging that the two of you were technically a real marriage. Obviously, you were a marriage, but being a real marriage, it's setting that aside. But I can certainly help you with that as well. You want to get rolling on that, and my number is 296-1050, 296-1050.
I'm curious, William. How did you meet?
Tried to give you two more points, and because I suffer from ED,
yes,
the marriage was never consummated.
To this day, huh?
To this day.
How long have you been married now, William?
Let's say 1911.
Okay, so about 7 years.
Not quite 7 years. It was 7 years. In October.
Yeah, I'm curious, and you don't have to answer this, but how did you meet your wife?
Well, I'm beginning to think that those were the two people that got the money together, because it was strange. She had a friend in Jacksonville. I had a friend in West Palm.
Mm-hmm.
Those two friends knew each other, and they did the equivalent to matchmaking.
I see. Okay. I was thinking it's one of these online services where you can, you know, find a lady who wants to move here online, and, you know, you're thinking maybe from the purest intention, you can be her knight in shining armor to let her live in America and, you know, happily ever after, but she just wants the green card, maybe. I don't know.
Yeah. Well, the other thing is that she earns three times what I make in Social Security.
Wow.
Well, maybe you shouldn't do the, well, talk to the lawyer. I'm not a lawyer. Would it be to his advantage to get alimony from her?
Well, Social Security is, well, alimony and such is based on not just how much money one makes. You can be a billionaire and not pay alimony, mm-hmm. and I know people laugh when I say that. It's based on need and ability to pay, but that's all part of the analysis. But you know, yours is a little bit tricky, not unprecedented, but I mean a little bit tricky, and it has a few issues in it, particularly since you have, you know, potential allegations of fraud and or going forward, wrapping up payments of money and benefits and things like that, which are always an issue, plus your retirement, marital assets. All of that needs to be sorted out and needs to be done correctly. But I can certainly talk with you more and help you. Please give me a call, 296-1050, 296-1050. I'd love to help you with that.
Yeah, and William, your name is now in contention to get the Cheesecake Factory gift card.
Absolutely.
Oh, I was going to opt for a pizza.
Okay.
See, I knew there is no pizza at the Cheesecake Factory.
Tell you what, if you will never admit it's tricky. I'll
Roger say, will send you a pizza.
I'll give you a pizza, but that's not allowable under rules. So,
absolutely.
Thanks a lot for calling in. Okay.
Thank you, William.
Do we have time for another call before the break? Okay, let's go to James right now. James, thanks for calling in on the Lawyer's Edge.
Yes, I have a question about a courtroom involving a death penalty case.
Yes.
Does a witness have to appear on video, or does a witness have any rights not to appear?
James, that's a great question, and I'm assuming for purposes of this question, because there's a lot of ones cases that are going right now and some high profile, what I always recommend when people ask about security questions, because usually, and I'm assuming you didn't say this, but it can be linked to security, other people who may have been involved watching and hearing what someone has to say, what you do is you contact the state attorney's office or whoever the prosecutor is who's handling the case. Let him know your concerns.
Is he allowed to do? I guess so. You would think that would be witness tampering, or he's allowed to at least, I would tell the judge,
Well, that's what I mean. You can have the state attorney take it up with the judge, okay. Or you. Like, for example, let's make believe I'm you, if you're the witness.
Mm-hmm.
And I get called and I'm coming up. I tell the judge, or whoever whoever is calling me, usually in this case, it would be the state. It could be the defense.
Mm-hmm.
You tell the attorney, look, I'm not comfortable. There are cameras in the courtroom. I want to ask. In other words, the judge can't necessarily compel it, but I have seen where what happens is the judge, usually sometimes you have younger witnesses, you have female witnesses with safety concerns, and the judge essentially says, out there to the group, I can't really just shut you down. I suppose he can. It's a public, it's an open courtroom. What he also can do is have the testimony occur back in chambers.
Mm.
And then the cameras not come into the chambers, but people writing. So in other words, someone could write down and take notes from the media, but not having the cameras move and come back into chambers. There's a number of ways, but it always gets worked out. Whatever your concerns are, I think all of the attorneys, both on the defense and the prosecution side, they understand this issue, and it's an issue that the court is sensitive to. So you should be able to get it worked out. But I would start there. I would let them know.
A jury trial, correct?
Yes. Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. Right. Thank you, sir. Oh, no, that's a great question, and that is a real concern, particularly these days.
Yeah, I would imagine
because that video may end up on YouTube. Mm-hmm. It may end up on the internet, and then it goes all over.
Yeah.
And depending upon what the case is and what your involvement is, it can be scary.
Okay. I appreciate it.
Okay. Sure.
Thank you, James.
James, and your name is in contention to get the Cheesecake Factory gift card from Robert Slama's law office. And let me ask you a question.
Sure.
Is there a state-level witness protection program? I know there's the federal one.
Statewide, I'm not aware of one. In fact, one of the I think what generally happens, and you're talking, you have to be talking about a really big case. I would consider that to be RICO, racketeering, involving something huge.
Organized crime or drug cartel or something like that.
And under those circumstances, the reality is the feds will likely be in some way connected with that case. So there would be a way to work that out.
Okay, just curious. I did find out that there was a prisoner exchange program. If someone has been convicted of a crime, feels that their safety is in jeopardy staying in Florida, they can switch into another state. heard about that. All right. Questions and comments, legal issues with the Robert Slama Attorney at Law on the Legal Lawyer's Edge continues right after a break here at WBOB. If you've got a question, feel free to call in 222-TALK 904-222-8255. We'll be back with more of the Lawyer's Edge on WBOB.
Talk Radio, AM 600, 101.1 FM, WBOB.
With SRN News, I'm Val Dior. President Trump is speaking to the press right now. It's pretty much a follow-up on his meeting with Russian President Vladimir Putin. Meanwhile, Fed Chairman Jerome Powell is giving lawmakers an upbeat assessment of the economy, saying it has expanded at a solid pace so far this year, and consumer spending accounts for a big chunk of U.S. economic activity. Powell tells the Senate Banking Committee that he expects the Fed to keep raising interest rates gradually. An AP analysis finds that many state lawmakers accused of sexual misconduct in the Me Too era are having success running for re-election or new legislative seats. Political observers say it shows that voters are conflicted about whether personal failings should disqualify someone from public office. The 89th All-Star Game set for tonight from Nationals Park in Washington, D.C. First pitch out at 8 o'clock Eastern Time. And on Wall Street, the Dow up now 59. You're listening to SRN News.
Download WBOB's mobile app for free from your app store. Powered by Duval County Judicial Candidate Kimberly Sadler.
This is Bill Martin with God First Ministries. Romans 8:28 says, "We know that in all things God works for the good of those who love Him." This is a promise from God specifically to those who love Him. God promises that in all things His desire is to work good in our lives. We have an enemy. In John 10:10, Jesus says that enemy comes to kill, steal, and destroy. Jesus goes on to say that He, Jesus, has come to bring life to us. Let's not confuse what God does with what Satan does. The two are far different. What God does is always for your good.
This message has been brought to you by God First Ministries of Jacksonville. For more information, visit their website at godfirstmin.com. That's godfirstmin.com.
Here's some great news. If you missed the deadline to sign up for a healthcare plan, or more importantly, if you signed up for a plan that you're just not happy with, you still have a choice. It's called MediShare. MediShare is a Christian healthcare sharing program. It's been around for 25 years. They have hundreds of thousands of members all across the country. And get this, over the years, MediShare members have shared more than $2.5 billion of each other's medical bills. Best of all, you could save a lot of money with MediShare. The typical savings for a family is about $500 a month. Your savings may be less or more, but think about what you could do with that extra money every month. So if you think you're stuck with a high-cost health plan that doesn't have much to offer, think again. You can join MediShare anytime, so call them today and check it out. Here's the number to find out more. There's no pressure. They're super easy to talk to. 877-64-BIBLE. That's 877-64-BIBLE. 877-64-BIBLE.
Dr. Gene A. Youngblood, pastor of First Conservative Baptist Church, invites you to worship with them 9:30 a.m. Sunday for Bible study, 10:45 a.m. Sunday expository preaching of God's Word, 7 p.m. Sunday expository preaching of God's Word, 7 p.m. Wednesday Bible Q&A with fellowship meal. They're located at 12021 Old St. Augustine Road in the heart of Mandarin, just 1 mile south of I-295.
Gentlemen, if you believe your divorce case deserves a reasonable investment in your future, then you need to visit DivorceMenOnly.com. I'm attorney Kenny Lay. Some people invest in a quality HDTV, others invest in a quality automobile, and many invest in a quality 401k. But when it comes to your divorce case, is your future also worth a quality investment? If it is, I encourage you to visit us at DivorceMenOnly.com or come visit one of our law offices in Jacksonville, Fleming Island, Ormond Beach, or Gainesville.
Hey, this is Roger Henderson on the Lawyer's Edge here on WBOB AM 600 101.1 FM. And we're here with Robert Slama. By the way, just to let you know, so I can be in compliance with the Florida Bar, I am not a lawyer. In fact, I don't work in the legal profession at all, but Robert is.
And you don't make pizzas either. That's
exactly.
Another disclaimer.
So you practice statewide in Florida.
That's correct.
And also you have been admitted to the U.S. Supreme Court bar, right?
The bar of the United States.
You were sworn in by Rehnquist, was it?
Chief Justice Rehnquist.
Okay.
Yes.
And you've argued before the Supreme Court.
I have filed, briefed, and provided argument before the United States Supreme Court.
Wow. You're part of American history.
And well, right now we're in the Florida Supremes.
Yeah, your case is now in the National Archives, probably.
It should be.
Okay.
And in fact, just so for people know, the case that I was taking up there had to deal with religious liberty. In fact, that case has been cited throughout the country. I think now it's about 46 times.
It'd be nice if they'd send you royalties for that.
It's
not that way though.
It's making a difference, and I think sometimes what's lost. Mm-hmm. In this world is, you know, the victories that happen daily that with us happen, it isn't always people see it, they know it. In fact, even in this media age where you think everything is out there, it's just as easy today for people to miss stuff as it is you go up and down the same street. How often have you driven home, go up and down the same street, you look over and go, when did that business come in?
Yeah. Or when did that cooling tower from JEA get collapsed?
Exactly.
Looks different down this highway right now. But anyway.
But on the break, we were talking about vehicles, and he was telling me a story about someone else's vehicle. I want to mention something that a lot of people may have thought about but really don't know that much about. And it's funny. How important is your car to you, Roger, in general?
Well, you got to get to work every day.
It's pretty important.
Mm-hmm.
How about to your wife?
She's more concerned with her car than mine.
Well, I mean,
with any marriage, you know, the wife gets the nice car and I drive the jalopy, but it's okay.
But transporting kids, I mean, in other words, when they were younger, that car goes down.
Right.
She can't get around. The kids can't get around. Right. Everything comes to a stop.
Well, now my kids all have their cars, which are all nicer than mine, but it's okay. I'm happy for them.
Because they're all highly successful and smart.
They are. You know, I have to hand it to them, you know.
they very much are.
Yeah.
Lemon law. When I say lemon law, what do you think? Tell me what comes to mind.
Well, I know it has to do with cars that you get them apparently brand spanking new off the lot that you're not previously owned cars. And for whatever reason, there was a mechanical problem that the manufacturer or the car dealer cannot repair. Is that right?
Well, close.
And therefore, you have certain rights with respect to getting another car, getting your money back.
Close. Here's what happens. When you bought your car, first of all, it's got to be under warranty. And the problem that you're complaining of, I'm going to use the word complaint to start with, has to occur within, of course, the warranty period, but in the first 24 months.
Now, does this apply to previously owned cars or no?
Under warranty.
Okay, as long as they're under warranty.
Got to be under warranty.
Okay.
There's also a federal cause of action called Magnin-Moss warranty. Breach. That's a whole that's related to this, but it's separate. In other words, it's a separate cause of action. So what happens with the lemon law is this. Make believe, Roger, you bought your car. I just going through this with a client. We know you get all your money together, your down payment, you're real happy. It's like a marriage, right? You get the car. And then as soon as you get it, I'm going to use as an example in this case, it was a Ford Fusion. The Ford Fusion was known for having the battery die. Now, why was the battery dying? It kept losing all of its juice. Almost like if there was a short in the system and the battery was getting drained every night with nothing being left on. How happy are you when you get up in the morning, you're running to get out to work, you, of course, get up early, have to get on the road, you sit down, put your key in the car, and the thing won't start?
Yeah, that would be a problem.
You'd be pretty upset, wouldn't you?
Well, not only that, but there would be thousands of people throughout the state of Florida who wouldn't be very happy either.
Exactly.
You know, because I have to be here at the radio station.
And the radio station wouldn't be happy that you're telling them you're stuck in your driveway because the battery won't start.
Exactly.
So it's something I'm trying to show is in real life, and I always try to take people to real life because oftentimes, Roger, people try to intellectualize problems. That's why they don't get it. You got to get into real life, what it's like to really be in a situation. So here's poor Roger. He's sitting in his driveway. His car won't start. He's stressed out because the radio station is hanging. He knows someone's getting ready to call him and say, we're off the air. Where are you? Your answer is, well, if I take my wife's car, that works. Then she's going to say, So you're leaving me with a stuck car with a dead battery.
Exactly. And okay. She saves lives for a living working at one of the major hospitals in the area. So then there are people whose health would be placed at risk because of this battery.
But because you're such a smart guy, right. Roger's sitting in his driveway. What does he do?
I call Uber.
He Ubers. He looks at his cell phone and he Ubers. That's the right answer.
Okay.
And he Ubers. He gets into work. And for the time being, here's what Roger's thinking. Now when I get off work today, I'm here. I'm stuck. My wife is at work. How do I get my car in? What are they going to tell me when they get it in? All the money, all the time, all the energy. It's an inconvenience. There's the setting. Now, most of you, some of you may relate with this, but I'm just going to use my little Ford Fusion as the example. So what happens? You bring it in to get fixed. They say, hey, it's all fixed. They bring it out, give it to you. You're home. You're happy. You go, wow, I survived that. It's under warranty. It got fixed. I dodged a bullet. Then you get up the next morning or 2 days later, and the battery's dead again. Same drill. Roger hops in his Uber, gets to work. Question, how long must Roger go through this and endure this? Where, now this is what we were leading up to. Initially, it's a complaint. But eventually, the complaint may become whether or not they are able to repair the vehicle, mm-hmm. fix it.
I don't want to deal with that issue for 10 years or 100,000 miles.
Of course not.
Right.
But do you want to deal with it for even 30 days or 60 days or 90 days?
No.
Probably not.
No.
No one does. Here's what the law says. What happens is if that car is going to be out of service for 15 days, and that doesn't have to be consecutively. In other words, you take it in, Roger takes it in, it's 3 days this time, 3 days that time, the next time they hold it out for 15 days. Now he's over 15 days. When you're over 15 days, you have to send a certified letter with a particular form you can download. It's called the deficiency notice to the manufacturer, not to Coggin locally.
Or whatever the dealership may be.
Whoever it may be.
Okay.
I'm just using my Ford Fusion because that's what I have going now.
At least you didn't pick me this time, but go ahead.
You're not a Ford. Last time I looked, you're not a Ford. So you take it, you send in this notice. Now you put the manufacturer on notice. However, how do we get to, quote, the vehicle being a lemon where you now can say, I don't want this anymore, buy me out, or two remedies, buy me out or give me a replacement vehicle. And I'm going to explain in a minute how you pick which one of those it is. Replacement vehicle of similar value or buy me out. Now, when you say buy me out does not mean, a refund does not mean, you give me back dollar for dollar the cash that I just spent.
Mm.
Let's say the vehicle's $27,000. They are entitled to a set off for usage, and there's a formula. So you figure out the miles. Let's say at the time that vehicle went out of service was 3,500 miles, just making this up.
Okay.
They get a set off for $3,500, and then it's not against the whole purchase price. If you're making payments, it's how much you've, basically how much you've paid up to that point on the loan. So if the loan is for 84 months and now you have paid, 12 months, that the vehicle's been around about a year, then all of this gets put into the formula and you will get, including how much you put down, if there was a trade-in vehicle, all this stuff. But that's how you figure out what you're going to get back. Oftentimes, what works better is working out a replacement vehicle where you get the lot works with you to put you in a new vehicle. The problem is with financing.
You said of similar value. Does it have to be the same make and model?
No.
So you could start off with the Ford Fusion but end up with the Toyota.
No. At that lot. In other words, if you're staying with Ford, that's okay. What I mean. A replacement vehicle doesn't mean go down the street and get a Lexus. It means on the Ford lot.
Right. But you said similar value. Obviously, it would be something that's different value. I mean, you'd have a Toyota conceivably is the same value as a Fusion.
If you want to go to another lot, then you want your money back.
Okay.
But the money you may get back on this situation might be like $5,000.
Okay.
So you take your $5,000, go to another lot, and you start over.
Many of the lots, though, are owned by the same company. You mentioned one before, but if they happen to have more than one lot, different brands, is it transferable? Does it have to be used at that particular location?
The problem is going to be, in this case, say you went through Ford financing.
Mm-hmm.
You still have to deal with then with replacement vehicles and such.
It gets complicated. Better just get the cash.
So it may be, but sometimes they can work out a better deal for you with the other. So the point is this. How do you get there? you have to have three repair attempts, plus you give them one final repair attempt. At the end of the last final repair attempt, if they can't make it, quote, or cure the non-conforming problem, then you have a lemon. Then you go forward. Or if you're 30 days out of service, it's presumed to be a lemon. So ask me, which are you always better with? Riding that vehicle and putting up with it until you get 30 days out of service. When you get 30 days out of service, that vehicle is presumed a lemon. Now, they get basically one shot to fix it. And if they don't, it's done. Call us. Call us. We're here for you. You're listening to The Lawyer's Edge.
A law firm dedicated to helping families. A law firm dedicated to you. The law firm of Robert J. Slama.
Hi, I'm Robert Slama, and I want to be your family's attorney. For over 17 years, I've assisted the Jacksonville community by providing a full-service law firm for families, not the rich and powerful, but for everyday families like yours. Since 1998, I have handled some of the most complicated cases in Jacksonville, including Brenton Butler, and more recently, the jury verdict in Jermaine DeBose. Whether it's family law, including divorce, custody, or bankruptcy, juvenile law, personal injury, probate, civil rights, or not-for-profit and churches, I'm dedicated to helping your family with your legal needs. I'm Robert Slama, and I want to be your family's attorney. Call me anytime. My number is 904-296-1050, or you may text me at 838-8607. The law firm of Robert J. Slama.
Welcome back to The Lawyer's Edge here on WBOB. I'm Roger Henderson, not a lawyer, with Robert Slama, who is one. 904-222-TALK is the number if you've got a legal question. And for the best call, and we've had a few already today, that comes in today based upon Robert's unilateral decision, you could end up winning a gift card to the Cheesecake Factory. Redeemable in any Cheesecake Factory in the United States. And, of course, there's one at the St. John's Town Center.
Very nice one.
Yeah.
So the point to the last saga is, let me tell you, Roger, in wrapping that area up and moving on, do you know how many people I see who they go through this frustration, not knowing what they're doing? This goes on for months, weeks, years.
Does it make sense financially to hire a lawyer if you have a limited law case?
It does. Okay. The reason is, most of the car dealers know once that vehicle is stamped a lemon, that they're stuck with that vehicle in essence. If they can work something out with you, that vehicle is going to end up being resold again. They may then figure out what happened sometime, fix it, or change it out. And then once they do, can still make good money off of that vehicle. Because remember, in my case, my instance, it was low mileage. I'm putting it at 35 to 7,500 miles. So it's low mileage. They figure the problem out. Sometimes these days, by the way, with the Fusion, the problem was in the software. They finally figured out that
So this is a real case, huh?
It's a real case.
Okay.
A lot of people had this problem. I mean, lots of people. Eventually, it was downloading software that made the difference. Now, does that always make the difference? Sometimes, no. They're like everyone else. You have to remember, as technology is changing, the gap between the people who are servicing and the people who are designing and engineering, all that cool stuff, Roger, that you like in the car that drives itself and it, you know, it now pretty soon it's going to have wings and helicopter blades. Who knows how to fix that? You see the guy now, he comes up, he plugs in, he's got his little box.
Right.
To try to diagnostically figure out what's going on.
They sell those, by the way, at the auto parts store. You can get your own little box, plug it in yourself, cell phone. You can buy one of those.
And then what are you going to do? You know, at that point, like even now, as my son was noting, he's getting ready to drive in August. And my dad's old Cadillac, which is a 2000 or 2002 Coupe de Ville, he's looking at the difference between it and my engines, where the spark plugs are. The simple things in the old days to get to, you can't get to. And the equipment and the fuel injectors and all this stuff, I mean, things have changed. Things have significantly changed. But in the end, here's what my point to you is. Before you run around going crazy, frustrated, crying in your driveway, intermittent power, there's nothing worse than a mother. You're listening to me right now. I know it's happened to you. You're sitting in your car. One day you had power. The next day you didn't have power. The car will start, it won't start, you're towed, you're this, you're that. No, you don't have to take it, but you do have to take the car in. Mm-hmm. And then when you get either three repair attempts and it's not fixed, still what we call a non-conforming defect, or 30 days out of service.
Now, when you say 30 days out of service, that means you choose not to drive it for 30 days?
No. You take it in, this time it's out for 3 days. You take it in again, this time it's out for 4.5 days. Next time it's out for a week. When the total accumulation of all of the days out of service is 30 days, that vehicle is presumed to be a lemon.
Right. Now, well, suppose you have a cousin who's a mechanic and will just hold it for you for 3 days and doesn't work on
it. No, it has to be in the shop.
Okay, it has to be at the...
Work orders.
At the service location that sold the car to you.
Oh, yeah. Those work orders are very important. Okay. Date in, date out, and it doesn't count time waiting for parts. But a lot of the dealerships, their paperwork is sloppy, and they don't show that it's out waiting on parts. So, for example, let's say that one part is taking 3 weeks. Your vehicle is out for 3 weeks. Of that 3 weeks, you may only get 2 days. The first day it came in, the day to work on it, and it's ready at 5 o'clock that night. That's why they call you and they say that vehicle is ready for pickups.
Mm.
So you can't let it sit there for 4 more days or 5 more days and say, hey, I got 30 days out of service.
Okay.
But anyway, you can do something. Does it make sense? Yes. I was appointed years ago by Robert Butterworth, who was the Attorney General of the state of Florida, to be a lemon law arbitrator. I was amazed at what I saw.
What percentage of people, I'll let you finish your point, but my question will be after that. What percentage of cars are lemons, if you see?
You know, it depends on, for some odd reason, it seems certain brands or certain models tend to be
more. My mechanic says that you always get, and he mentioned 2 or 3 brands that he says are always, you know, foolproof. Interestingly, they're all Japanese. Anyway.
But these but these days, you'll see it across the board in part, I say, because of technology, some just because there's mechanical issues or the engineering, how they designed it. But it can happen to any vehicle. Mm-hmm. Some are more prone, perhaps, than others. But don't be frustrated. Don't continue to drive around going, this is crazy. There's nothing I can do. Make an appointment. I deal with these. I love lemon law cases. They're actually pretty fun because it's about problem solving.
Mm-hmm.
It's about diagnostics and trying to figure out what's going on with the vehicle, but also how to navigate through the system. That's what we're here for, is to help you navigate through the system.
Okay, great. If you've got a question for Robert this afternoon, the number is 904-222-TALK. 904-222-8255. We have been talking about cars that have these chronic mechanical issues and your lemon law rights. But if you have any legal question at all, Robert has a background in the law and everything from family law to bankruptcy to what are some of the other?
Personal injury, med mal.
Civil rights.
Civil rights.
Yeah.
And in fact, I wanted to. Yes, they have. Civil rights, and let me just say a word about civil rights, because when people hear civil rights, particularly today, what I'm enjoying is that I always tell my friends, they go, you must love it right now because civil rights is hot. I said, civil rights has always been hot in a sense. It's just people are paying more attention to it today than they did over the past 10 or 15 years for whatever reason. Today they are. And what I find is very interesting, and I tell everyone this, I just got back from D.C. going on the safety patrol trip. I love sitting in the Jefferson Memorial, where I look around. It's a very, for a civil rights attorney, it's a very interesting experience. I'm looking at Thomas Jefferson, and I'm looking around the label at the top, where he's talking about, as he says it, I have set my mind against tyranny of all types, wherever it may occur. That is his life mission, in a sense. And what comes out of that? Tyranny. Thurgood Marshall said it this way: the law recognizes the sophisticated forms of discrimination as well as the simple. I don't know necessarily today, everyone's busy, but they pay attention to, out there, the various ways. You know, you heard David and I talking about, for example, an election. Real stuff. How does one not see what should be obvious? Well, everyone gets busy and people focus on different things. But this day and age, you're hearing more and more, and I'm going to give you some examples. An issue that, if you have children that are going to college, maybe you just heard this, maybe you didn't. Harvard, other institutions, tends to be the Ivy League, but not just them, working their way through, that when you apply, not only are they race-based, in their decision making, what came that they would discount Asian admission in part because they're not friendly. Now, did you hear what I just said?
So they're generalizing all Asians as not being friendly people?
And how they view them for purposes of admission. So, for example, what they were going through, there's a guy who just wrote a book, and don't ask me his name. I wanted to get the book because I wanted to see the research. He was just on, I think he was on Laura Ingraham or one of those shows, Hannity, 2-3 weeks ago. And you would think today, this is what's so funny to me, the so-called civil libertarians back when, you would think they would be up in arms about a lot of this stuff. Well, right now they're preoccupied with some other issues. But how that would come out, that in other words, what he did was he applied, he's Indian, and said he was black. And they asked, you choose your race today, right? We learned that. People choose their own race and gender and everything else today. Mm-hmm. You know what he said? He knew that if he was black or he claimed any black, that he would get to the head of the class. And he did. But yet, if he was something else, he was actually, it was frowned upon or he was pushed back. Now, this is 2018, and this is where we are. Now, I want to just make a point. Coming out of what I call the civil rights era, which was primarily during the 60s and the 70s, the issue with desegregation and busing and all of this was to reverse that. There's the thing called the 13th Amendment, which is one of the Civil War amendments, right? 13, 14, 15.
Right.
13 big badges and incidents of slavery. That's what the 13th outlaws. Badges and incidents of slavery. The 14th, due process, equal protection. Very big, because it took now, I call it the Great Funnel. It did a number of things that the original Bill of Rights didn't do. One of the things is you realize the original Bill of Rights didn't apply to the states, but it applied to the federal government.
Mm-hmm.
The 14th Amendment now made it applicable. We call it incorporation. These amendments are now incorporated into the 14th Amendment and made applicable to the states. And it did something significant for African Americans. Now it said, no person shall be deprived. Before, as you know, African Americans were not considered people.
Three-fifths of a person, but that's another issue.
No, but it doesn't say citizens. It doesn't say, you know, it doesn't read as it could have been restrictive.
Right.
No person. Doesn't say you have to be a citizen or a resident of the, which is why, by the way, when illegal immigrants come here, they can claim due process, equal protection, because the Constitution says in the 14th Amendment,
no person.
It doesn't say citizen, resident, illegal alien. Anyway.
Thus Gitmo. Because that gave George W. Bush the legal authority to prosecute the terrorists outside of the U.S. Constitution, because it's not on U.S. soil technically.
That's exactly right. And then the 15th Amendment, which deals with voting rights. So these three, the 13th, 14th, and 15th, came together and created what was the beginning, or was supposed to be the new beginning. So what the 14th Amendment and what people were looking at then was, where there was a delict, where there was a history of past discrimination, now there was a remedy to go back and fix it. What we're talking about today isn't about fixing anything. It's about the ongoing method of selection, recruitment of children, kids, people in these institutions based on straight race in large part. But anyway, the history of civil rights as we go forward now. As I tell people, Solomon had it so right. There's nothing new under the sun. You've been listening to A Lawyer's Edge, and you can look at our website. Go to Florida Civil Rights Attorney. We're here for you.